Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, we're going to look back at the President's State of the Union address last night and hear some of the opposition responses, too. Later, the adult actress who reportedly had an affair with Donald Trump and allegedly received a payoff just before the 2016 election made a very public appearance last night and addressed those allegations. We're going to hear what she had to say in a few minutes. But first, one listener comment about yesterday's program. After spending most of the show talking about immigration yesterday as it related to the rise of right-wing groups in the U.S., we received a call from a listener who said the military was colorblind. That moment drew this response from another listener.
A comment on your show. Most of the military might be colorblind, except I've run into bad feelings from Marines. And if you ever see a lot of Marines together, you see very few black faces. But I ran into a Marine sergeant trying to recruit some young white dude in St. Petersburg who was talking bad things about blacks. You know, he wasn't particularly kind to blacks. So, just the point. Have a good day. Good show, too. Good show. Great show, man. Great show.
Oh, there you have a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. Here in the Tampa Bay area right now, the 9/11 services seem to be having a major problem, and we're getting reports of problems in Northport and Sarasota and Hillsborough and Tampa. So if you are trying to call 9/11, we've got at least one bit of advice for you. Sean Canan in the newsroom has all the numbers for alternative 911. So if you've got an emergency and you need to call that emergency in to your local police or fire department, emergency services, call Sean Canan in our newsroom, and he has the numbers for Hillsborough, for Tampa, for Northport, and Sarasota. Our main number, you can get Sean by calling 813-238-8001. Well, last night, President Trump made his first official State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress. We'll hear some of the highlights of that first. There were at least five responses from Democrats, Greens, and Independents. We're going to hear parts of two of the responses, and we'll do some fact-checking with PolitiFact in a moment. First, here are some highlights from President Trump's speech last night, the State of the Union.
The President of the United States.
I call upon all of us to set aside our differences, to seek out common ground, and to summon the unity we need to deliver for the people. So let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong because our people are strong. With us tonight is one of the toughest people ever to serve in this House, a guy who took a bullet, almost died, and was back to work 3.5 months later, the legend from Louisiana, Congressman Steve Scalise. Less than 1 year has passed since I first stood at this podium in this majestic chamber to speak on behalf of the American people and to address their concerns, their hopes, and their dreams. That night, our new administration had already taken very swift action. A new tide of optimism was already sweeping across our land. Each day since, we have gone forward with a clear vision and a righteous mission to make America great again for all Americans. I want to talk about what kind of future we're going to have and what kind of a nation we're going to be. All of us together as one team, one people, and one American family can do anything. We all share the same home, the same heart, the same destiny, and the same great American flag. Yeah. Together, we are rediscovering the American way. In America, we know that faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the center of American life. The motto is, "In God we trust." We repealed the core of the disastrous Obamacare. The individual mandate is now gone. This will be the last time you will ever file under the old and very broken system, and millions of Americans will have more take-home pay starting next month. Preston's reverence for those who have served our nation reminds us of why we salute our flag, why we put our hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and why we proudly stand for the national anthem. I am asking both parties to come together to give us safe, fast, reliable, and modern infrastructure that our economy needs and our people deserve. I want our youth to grow up to achieve great things. I want our poor to have their chance to rise. So tonight, I am extending an open hand to work with members of both parties, Democrats and Republicans, to protect our citizens of every background, color, religion, and creed. In recent months, my administration has met extensively with both Democrats and Republicans to craft a bipartisan approach to immigration reform. The first pillar of our framework generously offers a path to citizenship for 1.8 million illegal immigrants who were brought here by their parents at a young age. The second pillar fully secures the border. The third pillar ends the visa lottery, a program that randomly hands out green cards without any regard for skill, merit, or the safety of American people. The fourth and final pillar protects the nuclear family by ending chain migration. We must modernize and rebuild our nuclear arsenal, hopefully never having to use it, but making it so strong and so powerful that it will deter any acts of aggression by any other nation or anyone else. We continue to have all necessary power to detain terrorists wherever we chase them down, wherever we find them. And in many cases, for them, it will now be Guantanamo Bay. I will not repeat the mistakes of past administrations that got us into this very dangerous position. We need only look at the depraved character of the North Korean regime to understand the nature of the nuclear threat it could pose to America and to our allies. And it's the people who are making America great again.
Well, some of the highlights from President Trump's speech last night, the State of the Union speech. We're trying to get our guests on from PolitiFact. Looks like we're having the same phone problems that plagued Talking Animals just a few minutes ago. So we're going to try to join PolitiFact in just a moment. But what we'll do right now is listen to one of the Democratic responses. As I mentioned, there were a bunch of responses last night from several people, and Maxine Waters is giving one tonight on the BET channel. But we're going to listen to Representative Joseph Kennedy, a Democrat from Massachusetts, the grandson of Robert Kennedy. He gave one of the Democratic responses to the president's speech last night. Let's hear part of that right here on 88.5 FM.
This is a difficult task. Many have spent the last year anxious, angry, afraid. We all feel the fractured fault lines across our country. We hear the voices of Americans who are forgotten and feel forsaken. We see an economy that makes stocks soar, investor portfolios bulge, and corporate profits climb, but fails to give workers their fair share of the reward. A government that struggles to keep itself open. Russia, knee-deep in our democracy. An all-out war on environmental protection. A Justice Department rolling back civil rights by the day. Hatred and supremacy proudly marching in our streets. Bullets tearing through our classrooms, concerts, and congregations, targeting our safest, sacred places. And this nagging, sinking feeling, no matter your political beliefs, that this is not right. This is not who we are. Folks, it would be easy to dismiss this past year as chaos, and partisanship, as politics. But it's far, far bigger than that. This administration isn't just targeting the laws that protect us. They're targeting the very idea that we are all worthy of protection. For them, dignity isn't something you're born with, but something you measure by your net worth, your celebrity, your headlines, your crowd size. Not to mention the gender of your spouse, the country of your birth, the color of your skin, the God of your prayers. Their record is a rebuke to our highest American ideal, the belief that we are all worthy, that we are all equal, that we all count in the eyes of our law and our leaders, our God, and our government. That is the American promise. Today, ladies and gentlemen, today, that promise is being broken by an administration that callously appraises our worthiness and decides who makes the cut and who can be bargained away. They're turning American life into a zero-sum game where for one to win, another must lose, where we can guarantee America's safety if we slash our safety net, where we can extend healthcare in Mississippi if we gut it in Massachusetts. We can cut taxes for corporations today if we raise them on families tomorrow. Where we can take care of sick kids if we sacrifice dreamers. We are bombarded with one false choice after another. Coal miners or single moms? Rural communities or inner cities? The coast or the heartland? As if the mechanic in Pittsburgh, a teacher in Tulsa, and a daycare worker in Birmingham are bitter rivals, rather than mutual casualties of a system forcefully rigged towards those at the top. As if the parent who lies awake, terrified that their transgender son or daughter will be beaten and bullied at school, is any more or less legitimate than a parent whose heart is shattered by a daughter in the grips of an opioid addiction. So here is the answer that Democrats offer tonight. We choose both. We fight for both. Because the greatest, strongest, richest nation in the world should not have to leave anyone behind. We choose a better deal for all who call our country home. We choose a living wage and a paid leave and affordable child care your family needs to survive. We choose pensions that are solvent, trade pacts that are fair, roads and bridges that won't rust away, a good education that you can afford. We choose a healthcare system that offers you mercy, whether you suffer from cancer or depression or addiction. We choose an economy strong enough to boast record stock prices and brave enough to admit that top CEOs making 300 times their average worker is not right. We choose Fall River. We choose the thousands of American communities whose roads aren't paved with power or privilege, but with an honest effort, with good faith, and the resolve to build something better for your kids. That is our story. It began the day our founding fathers and mothers set sail for a new world, fleeing oppression and intolerance. It continued with every word of our independence, the audacity to declare that all men are created equal, an imperfect promise for a nation struggling to become a more perfect union. It grew with every suffragette step, every freedom rider's voice, and with every weary soul we welcomed to our shores. And to all the dreamers out there watching tonight, let me be absolutely clear. Ustedes son parte de nuestra historia. Vamos a luchar. Vamos a luchar por ustedes. Y no, nos vamos a alejar. You are part of our story. We will fight for you, and we will not walk away.
Well, that was the opening of Congressman Joseph Kennedy III's speech, responding to President Trump's State of the Union address, getting a pretty big cheer from the crowd for those last remarks especially. Well, we're going to read some of these emails that have come in. Looks like our phone system is still down. Also, it looks like the emergency phone system, the 911 service, is down for much of the Tampa Bay area. We're getting news that in Hillsborough County, in Manatee County, and the city of Tampa, in Northport and Sarasota, the 911 system is down. Sean Canaan in our newsroom has all the right numbers, so if you want to find out what the number to call for 911 is in your community, if you're trying to make an emergency call, Sean has that number in the newsroom, and you can call him at 813-238-8001. We're going to listen to what the adult movie actress said last night on television. We're going to hear that in a moment. She's the one who allegedly had an affair with Donald Trump. There have been multiple statements denying that she had the affair with Donald Trump and that there was any payoff before the 2016 election. But you'll want to hear what she had to say last night when she appeared for the first time on a national TV show. We're going to hear that sound in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's listen to Bernie Sanders. The Vermont Independent Senator also responded to the president's speech, and we're going to hear some of what he had to say last night. And as we listen to this, please call us up, or rather email us at dj@wmnf.org with your comments about this speech that you're about to hear. We'll hear Bernie Sanders' response to the State of the Union address in just a moment, but let me read some of these emails that have come in. Ron in West Tampa says, like other State of the Union speeches, Trump's sounded great. He's a charmer, but let's see. Let's wait and see if his actions begin to live up to his words. He's still divisive, still wants a wall, still believes in more military and less environmental protection. Meanwhile, other Mexican families, like the one in Plant City, are being separated and the father's being deported. That news is being covered by the Tampa Bay Times in this morning's paper, if you want to find out more about that. Also, Green writes, the head of the CDC, Fitzgerald, her purchase of tobacco stock after she assumed the position of the nation's public health agency. Such an investment is an obvious conflict of interest with the mission of the CDC, considering cigarette smoking will result in the deaths of nearly a half million Americans this year. What is wrong with her, writes Green out there. And we got that news just a few minutes ago at the top of the hour on the NPR News. 813-239-9663. Looks like the St. Pete Police Department is also having trouble with its 911 system. And so is the Clearwater. Oh, no, not yet. Okay, Clearwater is not included in that list. Let's listen now to Bernie Sanders from last night. And if you want to comment about what he had to say or what President Trump said or what Congressman Joseph Kennedy III said, email us at dj@wmnf.org. Here is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
Good evening, and thanks very much for joining us. Tonight, I want to take a few minutes of your time to respond to President Trump's State of the Union speech, but I want to do more than just that. I want to talk to you about the major crises facing our country that, regrettably, President Trump chose not to discuss. I want to talk to you about the lies that he told during his campaign and the promises that he made to working people, which he did not keep. Finally, I want to offer a vision of where we should go as a nation, which is far different than the divisiveness, dishonesty, and racism coming from the Trump administration over the past year. President Trump talked tonight about the strength of our economy. Well, on that point, he's right. Official unemployment today is 4.1%, which is the lowest it has been in years, and the stock market in recent months has soared. That's the good news. But what President Trump failed to mention is that his first year in office marked the lowest level of job creation since 2010. In fact, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 254,000 fewer jobs were created in Trump's first 11 months in office than were created in 11 months before he entered office. Further, when we talk about the economy, what's most important is to understand what is happening to the average worker. And here's the story that Trump failed to mention tonight. Over the last year, after adjusting for inflation, the average worker in America saw a wage increase of, are you ready for this, 4 cents an hour, or 0.17%. Or to put it in a different way, that worker received a raise of a little more than $1.60 a week. And as is often the case, that tiny wage increase disappeared as a result of soaring healthcare costs. Meanwhile, at a time of massive wealth and income inequality, the rich continue to get much richer while millions of American workers are working two or three jobs just to keep their heads above water. Since March of last year, the three richest people in America saw their wealth increase by more than $68 billion. Three people, a $68 billion increase in wealth. Meanwhile, the average worker saw an increase of 4 cents an hour. Tonight, Donald Trump touted the bonuses he claims workers received because of his so-called tax reform bill. What he forgot to mention is that only 2% of Americans reported receiving a raise or a bonus because of this tax bill, 2%. What he also failed to mention is that some of the corporations that have given out bonuses, such as Walmart, AT&T, General Electric, and Pfizer, are also laying off tens of thousands of their employees. Kimberly-Clark, the maker of Kleenex and Huggies, recently said they were using money from the tax cut to restructure, laying off more than 5,000 workers and closing 10 plants. Let me say a few words now about some of the issues that President Trump failed to mention tonight. And that is the difference between what he promised the American people as a candidate and what he has delivered as a president. Many of you will recall that during his campaign, Donald Trump told the American people how he was going to provide health insurance for everybody with, quote unquote, much lower deductibles, end quote. That is what he promised working families all across this country during his campaign. But as president, he did exactly the opposite. Last year, he supported legislation that would have thrown up to 32 million people off of the health care they had, while at the same time substantially raising premiums for older Americans. The reality is that although we were able to beat back Trump's effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act, 3 million fewer Americans have health insurance today than before Trump took office. And that number will be going even higher in the coming months. I know I heard tonight many of my Republican colleagues standing up and applauding how great it is that millions of Americans are going to lose their health insurance. Not quite something that I understand. As you all recall, during his campaign, Trump promised not to cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. That is what he promised. As president, however, he supported a Republican budget resolution that proposed slashing Medicaid by $1 trillion and cutting Medicare by $500 billion. Further, President Trump's own budget called for cutting Social Security disability insurance by $64 billion. During Trump's campaign for president, he talked about how he was going to lower prescription drugs and take on the greed of the pharmaceutical industry, which he said was getting away with murder. And tonight we heard him talking again about the high cost of prescription drugs and saying, quote, "One of my greatest priorities is to reduce the price of prescription drugs," end of quote. That's what he talks about. But as president, Trump nominated Alex Azar, a former executive of the Eli Lilly Company, one of the largest drug companies in this country, to head up the Department of Health and Human Services. Trump spoke about how other countries' drugs cost far less, yet he has done nothing to allow Americans to purchase less expensive prescription drugs from abroad or to require Medicare to negotiate drug prices, which he promised he would do when he ran for president. In other words, Mr. President, stop talking about the high cost of prescription drugs. Do something about it. During the campaign, Donald Trump told us, quote, "The rich will not be gaining at all," end of quote, under his tax reform plan. The rich will not be gaining at all. Well, that was quite a whopper. As president, the tax reform legislation Trump signed into law a few weeks ago provides 83% of the benefits to the top 1%, drives up the deficit by $1.7 trillion, and raises taxes on 92 million middle-class families by the end of the decade. During his campaign for president, Trump talked about how he was going to take on the greed of Wall Street, which he said, quote, "has caused tremendous problems for us," end quote. As president, not only has Trump not taken on Wall Street, he has appointed more Wall Street billionaires to his administration than any president in history. And now, on behalf of Wall Street, he is trying to repeal the modest provisions of the Dodd-Frank legislation, which provide consumer protections against Wall Street thievery. But what is also important to note is not just Trump's dishonesty. It is that tonight he avoided, didn't say a word, about some of the most important issues facing our country and the world. Now, I don't understand how a president of the United States can give a State of the Union speech and not mention climate change. No, Mr. Trump, climate change is not a hoax. It is a reality which is causing devastating harm all over our country and all over the world. And you are dead wrong when you appoint administrators at the EPA and other agencies who are trying to decimate environmental protection rules and slow down the transition to sustainable energy. How can a president of the United States in the year 2018 not discuss the disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision which allows billionaires like the Koch brothers to undermine American democracy by spending hundreds of millions of dollars to elect candidates who will represent the rich and the powerful? How can he not talk about Republican governors' efforts all across this country to undermine American democracy, suppress the vote, and make it harder for poor people or people of color to vote? How can he not talk about the fact that in a highly competitive global economy, hundreds of thousands of bright young people are unable to afford to go to college, while millions of others have come out of school deeply in debt and struggle with that debt every month of their lives? How can a president of the United States not talk about the inadequate funding and staffing at the Social Security Administration, which has resulted in thousands of people with disabilities dying because they did not get their claims processed in time? How can he not talk about the retirement crisis facing the working people of this country and the fact that over half of older workers have no retirement savings? We need to strengthen pensions in this country, not take them away from millions of workers. How can a president not talk about the reality that Russia, through cyber warfare, interfered in our election in 2016, is interfering in democratic elections all over the world, and according to his own CIA director, will likely interfere in the 2018 midterm elections that we will be holding? How do you not talk about that unless perhaps you have a very special relationship with Mr. Putin? Now let me say a few words about what Trump did talk about. Trump talked about DACA and immigration, but what he did not tell the American people is that he precipitated this crisis in September by repealing President Obama's executive order protecting the Dreamers. We need to seriously address the issue of immigration, but that does not mean dividing families and reducing legal immigration by 25 to 50%. It surely does not mean forcing the taxpayers of our country to spend $25 billion on a wall that candidate Trump promised us that Mexico would pay for. And it definitely doesn't mean a racist immigration policy that excludes people of color from around the world. To my mind, this issue of protecting the Dreamers is one of the great moral issues facing our country. It would be unspeakable and a moral stain on our nation if we turned our backs on these 800,000 young people who were born and raised in this country and who know no other home but the United States of America. And that's not just Bernie Sanders talking. Poll after poll after poll shows that over 80% of the American people believe that we should protect the legal status of these young people and provide them with a path toward citizenship. We need to pass the bipartisan DREAM Act, and we need to pass it now. President Trump tonight also talked about the need to rebuild our country's infrastructure, and he's right on that. But the proposal that he is bringing forth is dead wrong. Instead of spending $1.5 trillion over 10 years rebuilding our crumbling roads and bridges. What Trump wants to do is to encourage states to sell their infrastructure to Wall Street, to wealthy campaign contributors, and even to foreign governments. And how would Wall Street and these large corporations recoup their investments? They would make their money back by imposing massive new tolls and fees paid by American commuters and by homeowners. The reality is that Trump's plan to privatize our nation's infrastructure is an old idea that has never worked and never will work.
Well, that was a part of what Bernie Sanders said last night in his response to President Trump's State of the Union address. Well, what do you think? Our phone number is 81. Well, no. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. We've got three or four emails that have come in. I'll tell you about them, but send your email into dj@wmnf.org. Here's the latest news about the 911 problems, and there are region-wide 911 problems here in the Tampa Bay area. The St. Pete Police Department is experiencing technical difficulties with their non-emergency line. The outage is due to regional widespread issues with the Frontier Communication Company. St. Pete Police say they have no current time frame for restoration. 911 in St. Petersburg is functioning properly, and so that's the latest news from St. Petersburg. Let me read some of these emails that have come in, because this is probably the way we're going to do the call-in show today. Catherine writes, I'm very disappointed in Kennedy and his speech. He said nothing that did not separate him from any other mediocre politician. His performance was forced and overly dramatic. He's no match for P.T. Barnum Trump. Bernie is our man. He speaks for the people. And that's Catherine, who says, do we really need another millionaire running for president? And then Anonymous from the 352 area code writes this, has Bernie Sanders forgotten that a president cannot fix in 1 year what the previous president had 8 years to mess up? That's 352 saying that. Thanks, Anonymous, and 352. Michael, who did sign his email from St. Pete, writes, last night I channel surfed in vain looking for something worth watching. I did, however, watch the PBS post-mortem and Stephen Colbert. Trump took the edge off a bit, but all the dog whistles were still there. He did give the green light for his cabinet secretaries to go after dedicated civil servants, you know, the bureaucrats who regulate Republican business people. GOP members of Congress have apparently decided to ride it out with Trump, despite clear signs that the president is circling the drain and will drag them down with him. I feel their pain, not. The Bible thumpers crucified, no pun intended, Gary Hart and Bill Clinton for their sexual hijinks, but they're okay with Stormy Daniels. As far as the speech is concerned, if I can be made to believe that, I can be made to believe anything, as Tom Hayden used to say. And then somebody from the 813 area code writes this regarding Bernie Sanders' speech. He says, this from a guy who never created one job for anyone. He's a bum, writes 813 Anonymous. And thank you for that. And then somebody from the 352 area code says, the staggering debt that Bernie Sanders talked about is all on Obama. And so if you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, including the comments from listeners, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. The Tampa Police Department says it's again experiencing technical issues with the 911 emergency system. Efforts to restore the system's functionality are ongoing, they say. They say that the police non-emergency line is functioning properly and can be reached via 813-231-6130. And then the city... Okay, we're going to listen to a little bit more of what President Trump said last night, and then we'll get a quick fact check from the AP about what some of what the president said last night. Here are some of the statements made by President Trump last night.
Many car companies are now building and expanding plants in the United States, something we haven't seen for decades. Chrysler is moving a major plant from Mexico to Michigan. Toyota and Mazda are opening up a plant in Alabama, a big one. Under the current broken system,
a single immigrant can bring in virtually unlimited numbers of distant relatives.
We are now very proudly an exporter of energy to the world.
I am proud to report that the coalition to defeat ISIS has liberated very close to 100% of the territory just recently held by these killers in Iraq and in Syria.
Since the election, we have created 2.4 million new jobs, including... including 200,000 new jobs in manufacturing alone. Tremendous number. After years and years of wage stagnation, we are finally seeing rising wages. So tonight I call on Congress to empower every cabinet secretary with the authority to reward good workers and to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people.
All right, so what did you think about those ideas? 813-239-9663. That was the president last night, and I keep giving out the phone number. Sorry about that. But you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org and comment about what the president said. Again, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. So here are some more emails that have come in. Adam writes this, I was never a big Bernie supporter, but after last night, I've converted. I thought the Democratic response by Kennedy was weak and didn't focus on specific issues. I don't understand why they still keep Bernie to the side. He is directly addressing the issues and is the most popular politician in the United States, writes Adam. And Mike writes this, hate to say it, but Trump's speechwriter deserves a big bonus. He made a rabid dog sound mostly sane. Trump's delivery was low energy for him, which means he sounded at times like a rational person. Not impressed whatsoever with Joe Kennedy III, child of privilege with no gravitas. The lack of substantive leaders on the Democratic side is maddening. Bernie's too old. Oprah would be destroyed in a national election. She'd galvanize the white power movement, and she's too prone to promote wacko healers and charlatans. Where are the true statesmen and stateswomen, writes Mike. And Marilyn writes this regarding Joe Kennedy. She says, Joe Kennedy was so refreshing to hear last night. He gave me hope. It was wonderful to hear optimism and hope instead of fear and divisiveness. I actually cried tears of joy. Thank you for playing it, writes Marilyn. And our email address again is dj@wmnf.org. And Anonymous writes, Democrats and Republicans are all the same, two wings of the same ugly bird. If the Democrats are any different, why aren't they doing anything about what's happening? Boycott Capitol Hill, go on strike. Condemn the Trump regime, writes Anonymous. All right. So I mentioned this very interesting appearance last night by an adult film star, porn star, on television. And she has been keeping a pretty low profile. She previously, in interviews that go back a few years, alleged having an extramarital affair with Donald Trump before he was president. She now says, at least her lawyer, or a man who claims he's her lawyer, says in a statement the affair never happened. The lawyer says that Stormy Daniels did not have an affair with Donald Trump, and a statement to that effect was issued yesterday afternoon before she went on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Now, Stormy Daniels, or Stephanie Clifford, has been on a publicity tour in recent weeks amid news of the alleged affair with the president. She appeared last night on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, where Jimmy Kimmel asked her about this alleged lawyer's statement in which Stormy Daniels denies having an affair with Donald Trump. Now, let's listen to the language here. Listen up closely and see if this is indeed confirming that she did not have an affair with Donald Trump. This is from ABC. You can see this on the Jimmy Kimmel website or the ABC website. Here is porn star Stormy Daniels last night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
$1,000 to be or not be here tonight. Please welcome Stormy Daniels. Thank you for being here. I had a pretty clear idea of what I wanted to ask you tonight, but then about like 3 hours ago, I go on the internet and I see this letter that pops up. It says, official statement of Stormy Daniels, to whom it may concern. Over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, now again 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was...
Since the election, we have created 2.4...
...own tabloids, the Wall Street Journal. I am denying... 16, 2017, now again 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. The Wall Street Journal. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at the Stormy Daniels.
Maybe they'll delete that one too.
Now, here's
what
I want to know.
That's not the craziest thing I've read about myself on the internet today.
This is what fascinates me. Your original statement, the signature on the original statement does not match the signature on this statement. And I went through my library of photographs of you to compare it two headshots that you have signed, and these seem to match the original statement. And am I getting at anything? Did you sign this letter that was released today?
I don't know. Did I?
Wait a minute. That you can say, right?
That does not look like my signature, does it?
It doesn't look like your signature. So you're saying perhaps this letter was written and released without your approval. Do you know where it came from? Do you have any idea?
I do not know where.
You do not know where it came from. So you
deny. I came from the internet.
So you deny.
Stormy Daniels, who is the subject of much speculation, did she have an affair with President Trump shortly after his wife gave birth to his son about 10 years ago? And a letter was issued yesterday on behalf of her claiming she did not have an affair with President Trump, but she doesn't seem to embrace that letter from a purported attorney who represents her. So what's the truth? And in any other presidency, wouldn't this be front page news? I mean, I don't know about you, but I lived through Bill Clinton, and for months we had front page news and headlines about his alleged affair with a White House intern, and this not making the news. What do you think? 813-239-9663. It's on page. There's a short article about this on page 2A of the Tampa Bay Times, but it's only four or five paragraphs, and it doesn't have the detail that we just presented you. What did you say on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last night? All right, so let's take some more emails. You can send your email in to us here at the studio. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Craig from Sarasota writes, I know your phones aren't working. Are you sure the email address is dj@wmnf.org? dj@wmnf.org. Yes, it is. It is dj@wmnf.org. So that's Craig from Sarasota. Just checking on her email address. Thanks, Craig. And then here's somebody from the 352 area code saying, why are we still wasting time on Stormy Daniels? Everybody knows that the Clinton campaign paid $700,000 to recruit women to falsely wage a sexual abuse allegations against President Trump. All right. Now, do you think that that's true? Somebody from the 352 area code says that. What do you think? Do you think that Stormy Daniels and all these other women are being paid to come up with sexual abuse allegations against President Trump. John writes this: I have to laugh at the listener that said Trump has to fix 8 years of Obama mistakes. Trump is so lucky he was handing a booming economy that Obama had to save from a depression after 8 years of George W. Bush and Republicans and two failed wars and ongoing debt from war and associated medical costs for all our brave soldiers. That's Scott, who did sign his name from St. Pete. Scott, thank you for that. You can send your email again into us here at the studio. It's dj@wmnf.org. Is President Trump riding the waves that were set in motion by President Obama, or was the economy completely in the tank when President Trump took over and he's had a great first year, but before that, the 8 years of President Obama were really bad? What do you think? 813, or rather dj@wmnf.org. We know that the stock market has been going up for the last 9 years. The unemployment rate has been going down for the last 9 years, but I think some of our listeners are divided about that. I think Scott's more on track on what's happening and what did happen. Gina writes this: President Trump came off sounding very good. He was measured. He paused when he needed to. He spoke of bipartisanship. But what really troubles me is he spoke in generalities and made comments that I know are inaccurate, such as getting rid of the incentives to keep the ACA. Reading between the lines, I hear the speech talk about helping the ultra-rich and getting rid of environmental protections, writes Gina. Yeah, he did talk about the coal industry coming back last night, and that was one of the things that President Trump claimed he had made better. Steve, who's in Holiday, says, finally we have the answer to that old Zen koan. What is the sound of one president clapping? The answer is, of course, Donald Trump. All night long, Trump clapped for himself, almost like he was afraid that if he didn't clap, no one else would know when it was time for another round of applause, writes Steve, who did sign his name. Here's one last time, our email address, dj@wmnf.org. And we're getting a word once again that the Frontier system is having phone problems region-wide. We're having problems taking phone calls coming into the studio. None of the phone calls that people are trying to make are coming in. And also some of the local police and sheriff's departments and emergency response centers are having problems with their 911 numbers. And we have the numbers that you can call if you're having trouble. If you've got a 911 emergency, you can call Sean Canan in our newsroom. He has the numbers for that are working for all the local departments, and we're getting reports of problems in Tampa, Hillsborough County, some in Manatee and Sarasota counties too. Here's 352. I think this is like 352's seventh or eighth email today. He says, Rob, with any other president, an extramarital affair would be front page news. However, this is President Trump, and it's still full of Russian collusion, writes 352. Paulo writes, tell 352 to stop watching Fox News. And Craig writes this. He says, I wasn't trying to confirm the email address, just wanted to bust on POTUS for his slip when he referred to the man using the wrong nickname, then quickly covered it up by saying that he was told that he could use either one. I'd love to hear that clip again. I know your phones aren't working. Okay, that's Craig from Sarasota. Well, it looks like we do have some phone problems, but let me give out the phone number anyway, just in the hope that Frontier clears up the problem before in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. And record your comment on extension 115. Give it a try. See if it works. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program with Nola. He's coming up next, and then we'll hear executive session, and then Scott will be in this afternoon for It's the Music. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening.